Coming up next, WWER presents Your Care Partners, a show dedicated to providing support and education to our community about caregiving. Just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Experienced professional caregivers Jill White and Marty Allman have casual conversations about care, offering advice and tips to help navigate caring for others. Jill White is a certified dementia practitioner and an Alzheimer's Association facilitator for caregiver support groups with over 30 years' experience working in long-term care. Marty Allman is certified as a master trainer for the Best Friends approach to Alzheimer's. She is a certified psychiatric nursing assistant with over 20 years' experience working in long-term care.
Welcome to WWER 88.1 FM. I'm Marty Allman, and Jill White, my partner, is on vacation. We are your care partners. Today, we have a special guest. Her name is Jan, and Jan offers an interesting perspective. She is currently receiving care in her home. We thought we'd interview her and just get her perspective and possibly advice to caregivers and advice to people who are being cared for. Hi, Jan.
Hey.
Hey. Let's start off with who you are. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, let's see. I was born in Kentucky, grew up in Richmond, Virginia, went to college at what is now JMU. Was married, and we moved to the Midwest. We lived in Wisconsin and Illinois for 31 years. And I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. And then after 31 years, I moved back to Virginia, to the Northern Neck. And that's kind of a very, very quick thumbnail sketch of a whole lot of years. I moved to the Northern Neck, but back in Virginia in 1993. And I worked for the local newspaper for 4 years, although insurance and cosmetics and things and sales had been my game, if you will, for many years. But when I moved here, I decided I wanted to write. So I learned at the local newspaper. And then at age 60, in 1998, I knew that they were not going to make a woman editor, and they were not going to make a 60-year-old woman editor. And I have a reputation for being an entrepreneur, and although I'm a pretty good leader, I don't play well with others. So I started Chesapeake Style Magazine, and that has kind of been my occupation, if you will, for the last 25 years.
Wow. That's a long run.
I've decided that if I was going to print it, it was only going to be as long as it was in the black. And I joked that it paid for the dog food and the vet bills. I raised, bred, showed, and worked in the field with German wire hair pointers. And they're considered a versatile hunting dog. They point fur and feather, and they retrieve on land and water. And I just love my animals. And last May, the end of May, the last dog that I had was a hound mix. And she crossed the Rainbow Bridge May 23rd. On June 2nd, I went in the hospital. And my life began to change dramatically at that point. I think it was interesting that the dog crossed the Rainbow Bridge at the time she did. Mm-hmm. And but she was number 15 on my headboard.
Oh.
Her ashes are on my headboard, along with 14 German wire hair pointers. So.
So you said that your life began to change shortly after that, literally within a couple weeks.
I had been negotiating to get a motorized wheelchair. And I had been taking aspirin for for the pain in my arm. And so I would use a wheelchair. And I mean, I didn't have a wheelchair at the time. I had a walker. And I could use the walker to navigate around the house and get in the kitchen. And I did have help with a shower because I needed somebody just to stand outside the shower. And I had metal bars and everything, but it was just helpful to have another person there. But that was the extent of my help at that point. And then on June 1st, I went to the orthopedic guy, the orthopedic NP, and I got cortisone shots in my knees. And I had transferred from a borrowed motorized wheelchair back and forth and on Bay Transit. And so that night, I didn't get up at all. And the next morning, I literally could not move. I mean, I could stand up, but my left foot would not move. What I learned later is that the reason my left leg and left foot were planted was because that my brain knew that my right leg and right foot were completely unreliable. I literally could not turn the 45 degrees to sit in a wheelchair or into the motorized wheelchair. Meanwhile, I had called 911 and I had called several of my friends. And I have no idea how I got from the wheelchair. I apparently directed the EMT how to get the wheelchair down the ramp and out to the gurney. I have no idea, no recollection of how he even got me on the gurney. But in any event, we sat in the driveway for a while. They take your blood pressure and all that. Astonishingly, when I got to the hospital in the ambulance, my blood pressure was normal, which just blows me away because I was in the hospital for 9 days. And this was on June 2nd. And what I learned was that I had taken too many aspirin, so I had a whole bunch of little ulcers in my gut. And then I came home for a week and discovered that my right knee just quit working, period. And so it was next to impossible to get me to the bathroom. I live in a lift chair. So, and I've lived in the lift chair for a number of years for other reasons having to do with my lymphedema. But in any event, and this is 5 weeks in rehab and 9 days in the hospital. So 6 out of 7 weeks in July, June and July, I was attempting to get back on my feet. And finally one day, I asked the PT and OT people, I said, okay, I can't be the only person in the world with a wonky knee. So what's my prognosis? And they said, well, I guess you could stay in a facility like this. And I thought, that ain't going to happen. Not that my treatment wasn't good. I had very good treatment there, but I just could not visualize living that way at all. So I decided to buy a Seraflex piece of equipment, which is a lift, sit-to-stand lift. There's a vest or sling that goes around my chest. It hooks up to the machine. I step on it, and it lifts me up to stand, takes me from a chair to a commode or to a wheelchair, and then back again. And it is my saving grace. And it cost $6,000. It was not cheap. Medicare did not pay for it. But I was not going to ask Medicare to pay for it either because they had already paid for a very expensive and fancy wheelchair. So you pick your what you're going to ask for.
So one of the reasons why you and I work together is because you need someone to operate the Seraflex for you.
Seraflex.
And you have quite a few people that come in and out and take care of you. I think we counted the other day 6, but then recently we added 2 more people to the team, and we call it a team, don't we?
Yes.
So why don't you tell us a little bit? I know that you said the other day that each person brings their own
gift
or skill to the table. Maybe you could give us an example of that.
Well, it started while I was in the second rehab place. One of the CNAs said she did private duty nursing. And she was here the other night, and it's been close to a year now. She drives all the way from Matthews to Warsaw every week, once or twice a week. And then she put me in touch with another CNA. So I have people who work at night or the evening shift, which is really basically 3 to 5. And then I have people who work in the morning who just fix breakfast, and that does not take as much time or energy or whatever. So, but I'm very fortunate because it has evolved. It's really been an evolutionary process. It's been an interesting learning curve. And I've learned that there are caregivers who are more interested in their issues and their problems than mine. And of course, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know what it was supposed to be like or anything, but it's been interesting because the people that I have with me have interesting and different backgrounds and training. Several of them are CNAs, current CNAs. Others have had the CNA designation, but they don't work in a facility, but they still have that background. And then Marty, her expertise is in the mental health end of it. So if I go into Alzheimer's or anything, she'll be able to tell me. If I have dementia or whatever. But I also mentioned that I had lymphedema, and she did some research and found a video, which has been just extraordinarily helpful. And now all of my people are working to use the hand massage method to open the drainage for the lymph nodes, and that has been fascinating.
We just accidentally came across that video, I shared it with you. And one thing that you all, you know, probably have gathered from listening to Jan is that she's a very independent, very wise, and intelligent woman. And she has put this team of people together and is running the team on her own. So she has texted all of us and texted everybody in the group the video, and we all watched the video, and then we learned these massage techniques to help her with her lymphedema. And now it's just been part of the practice. When everybody comes, we do the lymphedema massage for you, and we have seen an amazing difference.
It's astonishing. Astonishing. I also use Normaflex.
Yeah.
Or Normatec for the compression, which is typical for lymphedema people. And my lymphedema is in my legs. There's no rhyme or reason why I have it. None at all.
Well, and what I think is fascinating, one of the reasons why I wanted to interview you is that, you know, you have this machinery, the compression boots that you put on, but you've set your home up to basically be your home.
Right.
And it kind of runs like a well-oiled machine. You know, you organize when somebody picks up your groceries, you organize your mail, you organize when, you know, your paychecks go out to the people that work for you. You're very much still in control of your life. And I think that's important for our audience to hear, and maybe anybody else who is maybe planning to be cared for in the future. I'm impressed with how you have maintained your independence through all of this. And we know that it probably has a lot to do with your personality and that you've been a leader and all of that. But like you said, it just evolved over time, and now it's just turned into this great thing I think we've got going, I can say so myself.
One of the things that has been instrumental in getting everyone organized is recently I found an app. It's called Cozy, COZI, and we're able to get everyone on there, and they can schedule their own time, and they put their time in, so I can, at a glance, we can all look at a glance and see when it's their turn and who's supposed to be here and who's on first, basically.
Yeah. I'm just really impressed with how you set this up. And you and Jill and I were talking last week, and Jill said that you need to write a janual. Instead of a manual, you need to write your janual to, you know, you are a writer. Could really help some families and some other folks who, you know, may be looking at being cared for in their homes.
The other thing I learned recently was that someone asked if I had insurance to cover these costs or fees, and the answer is no. But I learned later that I can't do it now because I have a pre-existing condition. However, if I had not had these pre-existing conditions, I mean, you don't have to be 25 or 30 to get an insurance that will cover these costs. Hmm. So people who are pretty healthy, even at an older age, might want to consider exploring that.
Yeah.
Because there are insurance kinds of programs that will cover the cost.
Like long-term care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we're not selling any long-term care insurance, but it's something that, you know, people might want to look into.
Well, it was my investment advisor who told me that. I didn't even know. I mean, I was in the insurance business, but my theory was if I was going to pay things that much money or whatever over a period of years, it would be better for me to manage my own money and invest it. The other little piece of it, there is a person here in the Northern Neck. Her name is Terry Bain, and she has a business called Excellent Eats. And she sends out an email on Friday night, and she gives the menu options. She has regular food for people who eat regular food. She has vegan and gluten-free and a variety of choices. And some things are on there every week, and other things she changes each week. It's a very reasonable cost. So people who come in to help me with food, it's already done.
It's already prepared, yeah. And then they have, you know, they have programs in the area also, Meals on Wheels and things like that. And I think sometimes people don't use those programs, and they should. It's helpful to the caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's helpful to people who maybe are older and live alone and don't want to cook or can't stand long enough at the stove or oven to cook.
And I used Terry's services well before I was in the hospital or in this condition. It was just easy.
Right. And then you were like, well, now it works really great for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's interesting how things fall together in
that
way.
What's fascinating to me is how many years ago, I had a therapist, and she said, people are in our lives who we're supposed to be. We are where we're supposed to be at any time. And over the years, I've discovered that that's true. People come into our lives when they're supposed to be there. And it's just as astonishing to me, each person who has come in and been part of my team. We need to give this team a name.
I know, right?
Anybody has any suggestions for names, send it to Marty or Jill.
All right. You can send it to your care partners at WWER.org.
So, anyway, well, Sarah Flex has, her name is obviously Sarah. Norma Tech, the compression thing, that her name is Norma. And I won't go into all the other names of things, but anyway, it's a way to keep things happy.
And light, yeah. So Jan, what Jan's not saying is that she has different names for different pieces of equipment that help take care of her. So it's just funny, and it keeps things light, and that's so important, right?
Yes.
And I have had, you know, deep discussions on how you're so positive and well, and I see you on a regular, just kind of change your mood, or, you know, you try to keep things light. One time I was in the kitchen getting something ready, probably breakfast or finishing up from breakfast. And, I heard some music in the living room. And I kind of peeked around the corner, and there was Jan listening to, I believe, what's the guy's name? It's a blues artist.
Oh, what? Wynton Marsalis.
Wynton Marsalis, and she was chair dancing. you know, Jan takes an active role in her care. And I think, you know, that's important for people to know too, is that, you know, you take responsibility for your health, and you're not leaving it up to us to do everything. You're maintaining your independence. But, you know, another way that you do that is, you know, keeping things light and keeping your mood light. And it was just so cute to look in and see you chair dancing and listening to that music. It put me in a good mood. It put me in a good space. And I'm impressed with how self-determined you are, because Jill and I have talked about it in the past, is when you have people who are caring for you, a lot of times what happens is, for the sake of getting things done quickly and efficiently, we end up doing too much for the people that we're caring for. I don't think that would happen with you. I think you're pretty... She's pretty outspoken about what she wants and doesn't want, and I think that's great.
And I try not to bark.
No, you don't bark.
Occasionally I do bark.
But there are things, your command center, we call it, right? Somebody called it your command center, and it just stuck.
BT.
Yeah. You know, you are in a lift chair, and you have certain tables and things around you, and you need those things placed in a certain way, a very specific way, so you can reach them.
Yeah, somebody will bring in my mail and put it on the computer table, but at the other end, and I can't reach it. It's like, right. How am I going to read that mail? And or they will leave and forget that they just kicked my shoes under the lift chair, and there's no way I can get those because it's a catch-22. You put the footrest down, and it pushes the shoes further under.
Right, right.
So I'd have to call someone and say, hey, could you come over here and take Gabriella and pull the shoes out?
So she's very specific about where she wants things and how she wants things. And my advice to caregivers is be compassionate, but don't be sensitive. Because people need to maintain their independence, and they need to be able to say, no, I want this here, and this is why. We need to be compassionate caregivers, but we also need to respect that people have certain systems in place because it works for them. And
yes.
It allows them to maintain their independence.
Right, and I don't mean to be controlling, although I was very controlling earlier in my life. But the bottom line is, if that juice is not in a certain place, I can't reach it, and I don't want to knock it over.
Right.
But it has to be in a certain place.
And as caregivers, you know, of course we're not in your shoes, but we need to be mindful and aware. You know, I'm speaking to everyone who's a caregiver out there. We need to be mindful and aware that, you know, your person, if they are limited in their mobility, that they have the things around them that A, they need, B, that make them feel comfortable, and C, allow them to keep their independence. Would you agree with me?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, it's real easy. It's real easy to just jump in and, oh, I'll get that, or mm-hmm. I'll do this, or I'll clean this up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that, you know, that can happen, and you're like, no.
Don't touch that.
Don't touch it. It needs to be right there. And, you know, this is my command center. It's not your command center.
Yeah, you can move this table, but don't touch that one, because Seraflex is set up to go in a specific way to mm-hmm. get me up in the out of the chair and back in the chair. And if you move that table, it'll really mess things up. You right. don't want to do that.
Right. Is there any advice that you would give, first of all, just caregivers in general?
Well, the biggest thing is that, and it was an interesting transition, because I had some people who were very self-absorbed. And one person didn't like the Dreamweaver hanging up on the wall that had been up there forever. And she said it gave her a headache every time she came in here. And I'm thinking, who cares? You know, we don't care about that. On the other hand,
it's your home.
Well, yeah.
This is a decoration on the wall in your home.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I have to say that Annie particularly, she organizes my kitchen. She's very organized. We joke that we have the, we're sisters from another mother, and my daughter says, no, your sister's from another mister. But often we will find that we love flowers, or we like the same books. And the other day, we both said the same thing at the same time and had to laugh again. But she keeps my kitchen really organized. And that is just really important because we have so many people who are coming and going, mm-hmm. and she likes things a certain way. And when Marty came in, she cleaned up the kitchen. And the next time Annie came in, she said, oh my gosh, somebody, who is this woman? I really like her. So, and then somebody pulled something out of the pantry and said, I want to do this. I said, no, put it back. That's Annie. She takes care of that. Don't mess that up. Don't mess up that system.
Right.
But it's really interesting, the different personalities and skills that everyone brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really grateful for that.
That's good.
So
you've tried to maintain your quality of life and your hobbies and love for things. You're surrounded by artwork. You have a lot of friends that come in and out and visit. Besides your caregivers, mm-hmm. you have friends that come and visit. We got to talking, and I told you that I had a 3-year-old boxer. So we decided to try to bring the dogs to your house. And thank goodness your house is set up for dogs. So it was a pretty easy transition. But my dogs come to work with me 2 or 3 times a week.
Ranger and Soleil. Ranger is a gorgeous boxer. He's 3. And Soleil is a corgi, mm-hmm. and she's 9, I believe. And of course, I had to get my special dog biscuits for what I call now our dogs. The dogs have really added to my quality of life.
Oh, that's good.
They really have.
That's good. And again, your idea. Of course, we just went with it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, you know, we'll try to make
yeah.
it happen. I think it's really important that people who are being cared for in their home continue to do the things that enrich them as a person or the things that make them who they are. And so I was just asking you about your spiritual life and if you have one or, you know.
I do believe there's a God, and often I will say there is a God and she is good, and that may offend some people, and I apologize for that, but It's not a, I don't call it a secular life.
Right.
I call it a spiritual life.
Yeah.
But it's just
sense.
My own personal and private.
Yeah.
Does that answer what you
were
looking
for?
Yeah,
it does. I mean, you know, one of the things in my line of work in the past, you know, we liked to cover all the bases.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to make sure that, you know, people have the opportunity to be creative, to be spiritual, to listen to music. You know, whether it's cooking or baking or playing games, you know, it's important for the caregiver to make sure that those things are being fostered.
I have a friend who goes to church on Sunday every morning, and she does it by streaming on live.
Oh, yeah.
And if she comes over on Sunday, I'll say, okay, what was the gospel today? Because sometimes, many times, the gospel is a place that I visited in Israel.
Hmm.
I mean, it's interesting, those kinds of things that are... And so I'm very interested in what is the priest or the preacher saying, or what are they talking about, or what did you learn today?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested in that. I'm not closed off. I'm open to that.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, we are running out of time, so I think we're probably going to have a second segment because you're such an interesting person.
Well, I appreciate that. I just hope that, I just felt like, and I made the comment that when you asked me to do this, I said, maybe God isn't finished with me yet.
Mm.
I will be 85 at the end of June, so.
It's remarkable. Remarkable.
That. I'm just grateful that I have my faculties.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful for my caregivers, all of them, everyone. Bring something to the table.
I think I'm just going to speak for all of us because I know we all feel this way, that caring for you enriches our lives as well.
Wow. Thank you.
Well, we're going to end this segment, but I'm sure you can look forward to other segments coming up with Jan. I think she's got a lot to share. If you or someone you know is caring for someone they love, be sure to let them know about our podcast And if you have any questions about caregiving or are looking for resources, you can always email your care partners at wwer.org. And we'll do our best to get back to you as soon as possible. So thank you for tuning in. Have a great day. Just know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place yours. If you or someone you know is caring for others, please feel free to share this podcast with them. You can listen online at wwer.org.
Please send questions, concerns, or suggestions for future topics to our email, carepartners@wwer.org.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.